Now we come to some pronunciation issues here. We're just discussing this a little bit. Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman. Stephanie is over yonder, and Olga is back. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead. Say your last name, and we'll go with that. It's your choice.
Okay. In Russian, there will be Kern, but here I always hear Kern.
Olga Kern. Okay, yeah. Just like Jerome Kern. Okay.
If you're wondering how that's spelled, it's K-E-R-N.
By any other name, though, a wonderful pianist and a charming guest.
Thank you.
Olga was the winner of the gold medal in the 2001 Van Cliburn International Piano Competition, and she's been making a huge and very wonderful career since.
Yeah.
All right, we have to ask the obvious question. I don't think I asked this last time, which is, why 30 years before a woman won it again, do you think, that International Van Cliburn Competition?
It's hard to say, even though it was almost 8 years ago. Time's flying so fast, but 8 years ago, there was problem for women to get big international career. Though now I feel that it's much better and it's opening more to the women also. Because it was always a male profession mainly. Yeah, and you always go to concert, you think about piano, you think that it's a man playing piano because it's a male instrument.
Is it?
I always felt this way since I was little. When I was going to the concerts, it was always men, and it was always great and grand and amazing. And this is how I grew up, even though my mother was a very good performer, but she dedicated her life to me and my brother. And she's a great teacher, and she taught me. She was my first teacher. She had incredibly beautiful long fingers, right for the piano, exactly the right size. And I think I got it from her. And I was always feeling that man is privileged to play piano. Because I always felt, even though the shape of the piano is so beautiful, it's so feminine, yeah. But still, to be able to play piano, you need to have a lot of strength, and you need to have really strength of man. But I never felt that I don't have the strength. I always felt that it's not a problem. It was very natural for me since I was very little, because my mother a pianist, my father a pianist, and I always heard piano music in my family, in my house, and I always wanted to play piano because I always loved piano.
You've been compared often to Vladimir Horowitz because of your style. It's very strong, and it's been called brilliant and glassy and dazzlingly virtuosic and aggressive. Would you agree with that?
Very honored to be compared with Vladimir Horowitz, because I think his sound, I don't think it's aggressive necessarily. I don't actually feel this way, but his sound is so amazing. He could do the softest piano available in this planet, I think. And the biggest, beautiful, huge sound without any, pushing a keys. And there was no metallic sound in his performances, never. It was always very nice and soft and beautiful. As we say in Russia, sound with a lot of meat. Rich sound, you know. And I'm very glad to hear that comparison, because this is important for piano. You need to be able to play very softly and produce a beautiful, a huge sound, and I think I achieved this, and of course, I'm very different from Horowitz. I hope I'm different because genius is like this. We will never reach them as Rachmaninoff, as Richter, as many other great performers. But I think I found my own way, and I know my own ideas, and I'm trying with all of what I have already, with all my base, to just do this idea, to make this idea possible for the people to enjoy performance.
Well, let's hear you play something that I don't think of as requiring a lot of meat, but a lot of delicacy and precision. That would be Chopin's Fantasy Impromptu. Our guest, Holger Kern. You have to be a certain age to pull off that kind of shameless romanticism. I mean, it's in the piece. It's not in the performance.
Yeah, it is in the piece. Such a beautiful piece of music, yeah.
Who's our guest, Olga Kern, with music of Chopin.
The Fantasy Impromptu. You mentioned your family being a musical family.
Mm-hmm.
And in Russia, of course, you would have deep musical roots to great composers. If you're in a major metropolitan area of Russia, you wouldn't be too far away from the great composers, would you?
I'm just so lucky that I have very special roots in my family with some of the Russian greatest composers. It's not necessarily family roots, but the friendship roots between Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky. And it's an interesting story with Rachmaninoff because my great-grandmother, she was a singer, and she had a mezzo-soprano voice. And she was performing a lot all over Russia. And once she was giving a concert tour of all Rachmaninoff songs for mezzo-soprano, and as you know, for the piano part is quite hard.
For accompaniment,
written, yeah. Yeah, it's written like for the piano and voice, not for the voice and piano, I think. And her accompanist got sick, and Rachmaninoff happened to be there in the same place, and he said, because she was looking for an accompanist and she couldn't find anybody. Nobody wanted to do this. It was too hard. And he said, why are you looking for somebody? I will do this for you. And you still have a program. My grandfather has a program from that concert. And it's very, very special for us. And her mother, my great-great-grandmother, she was a pianist. And once Tchaikovsky was visiting, she was that time in Kharkov, actually, and he was visiting conservatories and universities, and she was a student that time, and she played for him the first time, actually. One of Tchaikovsky pieces was performed live. It was by her, Dumka, Tchaikovsky. Mm-hmm. Dumka. And since then, they became very good friends, and we have an incredible photos from him to her, and letters, absolutely priceless.
Yes.
Letters from him to her and from her to him. My grandfather is probably he will give all of this treasures to a museum, a Tchaikovsky museum. But in one hand, I feel like it should be still in the family. But on the other hand, I feel like people need to see this because it's really something very interesting.
But very inspiring to see that from time to time.
Definitely.
What a legacy, Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff.
Yeah. Rachmaninoff actually wrote, in fact, you recorded a CD for Harmonia Mundi, which is your label. You recorded a whole set of Rachmaninoff transcriptions. Some of them are really quite fascinating, including the scherzo from A Midsummer Night's Dream by Mendelssohn. Our guest is Olga Kern. That's not just a matter of delicacy and a fine touch there, but speed, too. Is it as difficult as it sounds, let me ask that scherzo?
It's actually more difficult than it sounds. Like, it's a very hard piece because it was written originally for the orchestra. And Rachmaninoff just tried to put everything in the transcription, not to lose any orchestra parts, let's say. And just one instrument need to really do all the work of other instruments, which is quite hard.
Speaking of Rachmaninoff, you mentioned that you have all of the concerti in your hands. And
I read
that you went to South Africa and did a really monumental concert with your brother conducting.
Yes, I did all Rachmaninoff concerti in 2 evenings. It was the first time I was trying it. And it was in Cape Town in my own festival. I opened the festival there. And it's running already for 3 times. The fourth will be next year. And it's great for me because I can try new projects there. And my brother's conducting there very often. And I did that amazing idea thing. I always wanted to try all 5 Rachmaninoff concerti just to see development of his music from the number 1 till his last composition for piano and orchestra, Rhapsody in the Tomb of Paganini. It was amazing. I think it was very big success because after that I again repeated in Warsaw with the Warsaw Orchestra in Poland. Which was also incredible success. I think that public really appreciate. It's a lot of Rachmaninoff music, but it's so different. It's so different. This is why it's so interesting to listen to. And one evening is number 1, number 3, because this Boss Concerti has cadenzas. I think it works very well this way. And the next day, it's number 2, number 4, and the Rhapsody. All 3 of them has no cadenzas, and number 4 and Rhapsody are the short pieces. Yes. But number 4 is very hard for the orchestra because usually orchestra are not playing this concerto very often. And
the pianists don't play it that often either.
Exactly. And it was quite a lot of work, I must say, but in the end it was really... a great, really great pleasure and big success. I'm repeating it again in Colorado, in Denver. Actually, this coming fall, I think, October.
Now, we were talking about meat a little earlier.
Yes.
In piano playing. Rachmaninoff does demand it. I mean, there are moments, of course, of great delicacy and tenderness.
Yeah.
But you're playing, what, tenths or something like that with hands interlocked?
Yeah,
and the
chords
things.
And everything. There is definitely meat in his music, a lot of it.
But you say you played Rachmaninoff's piano, and he had something going for him. The keys are narrower?
Yeah, it's actually, it goes even earlier, you know, of course, from the, you know, era of Chopin and Liszt, and definitely Beethoven still didn't have that. Even a normal, regular piano, you know, in just in our imagination. When I tried the Chopin piano, for example, he's a playel. It's very interesting. I was surprised to see how much shorter the keys are. And actually, action of the piano is completely different. It's so much lighter than on the pianos our days. And definitely Rachmaninoff pianos as well. That Steinway's, that days were different. In the way, amazingly, better.
Better in some ways, I'm sure.
I don't know. I just love that piano. I tried Horowitz piano in Van Cliburn's house because he has one of the Horowitz pianos in his house. One of his favorite pianos, it's a Horowitz piano. And it's a very brilliant piano. As I said, the action is... you can just play it without any really big effort, and you still will be able to project the sound. But still, to make a huge sound on this pianos, on that pianos, that days, I don't know how they did it, because, as I said, a sound of Horowitz or Rachmaninoff was huge.
Yes.
And it's quite difficult, because delicacy, yes, you can see that there is so much, as I said, very light action, and it's really not difficult to do. But with the big, big, huge sound, how to project this sound, I have no idea. How Beethoven did it, I have no idea at all. But, yeah, it's completely different pianos from our days.
And speaking of Beethoven, we'll hear that this evening and all weekend as part of the Madison Symphony Orchestra concerts. You're doing the Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 3.
Yeah, looking forward to this. It's a great concerto.
That'll be quite an athletic workout.
Yeah, actually, this concerto includes everything from the young Beethoven and already kind of... a romantic trying to be kind of Beethoven.
Oh, there's some really
amazing moments.
The second movement.
Like a second movement is just to die for. I just love it. But his cadenza in the first movement, there is a lot of workout, I must say, because it's very brilliant. There is a lot of sound, big sound, Beethoven sound, real Beethoven sound. And third movement, it's interesting that he includes humor and drama together, I think. It sounds like nothing is happening in the third movement. I mean, it's just a nice melody, right? Uh-huh. But there is so much more than just a beautiful melody. There is so much more. There is a real Beethoven in this piece. Yeah, I just can't wait to do this.
Well, we'll all look forward to that, and maybe we'll get to hear it sometime on Wisconsin Public Radio, too.
That would be wonderful.
Knock on some wood at the end of the piano.
In the recording future, hopefully. Well, the performances will be tonight at 7:30, tomorrow at 8, and then Sunday at 2:30 with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. They'll be performing at the Overture Center in Madison. Also on the program is the Leonore Overture and the Symphony No. 7 of Beethoven.
Leonore No. 3, to be precise, yep. Which is... they say the best of the bunch.
And we should mention you can visit madisonsymphony.org for information and tickets, or call 258, that would be 608-258-4141.
Thanks for joining us again today, Olga Kern. It's been a couple of years, and hope it won't be that long till the next time.
Yeah, big pleasure. Thank you.